now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello again and welcome to Shout Out.
I'm Steffi Barnett and he's... Do you know, I keep forgetting your name. Is it Shilton something? Oh yeah, Andy. Today on the show, Priscilla, the party.
The musical was a big hit. Now it's back in a slightly different guise as Steph finds out, talking to drag queen Nixie Mitosis.
And books, books, books.
Terry's here with the latest round of top 10 books.
All that and, as always, a lot more today on Shout Out.
I think that's supposed to be for the books a bit later, isn't it?
It is. That's the sign of the sweet.
I get that off. I'm like, that doesn't sound like our opening jingle, but yeah.
It should
got
be.
That for the books later.
Yeah. So. Hey, some good news from Sweden. Mm. Yeah, I know. They have reduced the age to transition from 18 to 16. Hot off the heels of Germany,
yes.
Saying they're going to make it a lot easier for people, which follows on from Spain. So they're really throwing some arrows at the UK government.
Yeah.
Love it. Also,
yeah, I remember reading something about Germany because you can also do. They've got a third gender. I forget what they
gender neutral, like, isn't it? On the passport,
they described it as gender neutral.
And also, a US survey: 90,000 trans people showed increased life satisfaction after transition.
There's a surprise.
There you go, TERFs. Take that one in the air.
You're going to get hate mail.
You will.
Yeah, right. What, you mean more?
Oh!
Yeah, no, we've got a long way to go in this country, haven't we?
We've gone backwards, haven't we? We've gone from in the top three to now number 15.
Oh, so we've just plummeted off the cliff.
Yeah.
Well, when you've got a prime minister who's openly transphobic, what are you supposed to do?
Well, you've got some Labour MPs also now coming out and saying stuff that's a bit worrying. Yeah.
Well, you know, we always said that it would be a great day the day that this show is not needed. But it goes to show you it well and truly is, and it's probably going to be around
for quite some
time, isn't it?
And it must be affecting everyone in the LGBT community, really, doesn't it?
I think it does, we've always been one big community. Granted, there are some that feel exceptions, you know, each to their own. But, you know, for the most part, we're very cohesive,
you know,
very
feels
supportive.
Like they can be transphobic, they probably can be gay, anti-gay and all.
It's the more acceptable, shall we say, in certain circles to be transphobic. But those people still have homophobic opinions.
I think statistics on people being abused out there when the police was 4 times or something, it's ridiculous.
Minorities are taking a hit at the moment. I mean, it's not just sexual orientation or gender identity. We're talking about across the board.
It wasn't that long ago. We had two guys outside Shemis O'Donnell's here in Bristol.
They got photographs of the people, but they weren't.
I think the last I heard that they had
made arrests. Which is.
Shouldn't happen in the first place. Let's be honest.
You know, there is a misconception that, you know, homophobia's gone.
But Sweden, so that's
positive.
Sweden. We're talking drag queens today, so, you know, it's going to be quite a lonely show, I think.
We're not actually talking to... We're talking to the person... Owain, who plays Nixie Mitosis from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, but in a nightclub, which is where you get to go. What a great idea.
Going
it's
to
the
nightclub
that's at the beginning and end of the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Mitzi, that's the premise, anyway.
That one.
I know, it's pretty brilliant.
Somebody should do the bus.
Well, they found the bus. They had to hunt it down. They'd been lost for 15 years, and they found it recently.
Oh, really?
The actual bus that was filmed in
apparently, it painted one side was one colour and one was the other side to make sure they could film it out of sequence of the bus process.
So where was it? Dumped in the desert?
It was almost... It was caught in a bushfire. It was that close to being burnt.
Oh.
Wow. Yes, because there's some serious fires a few years ago, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, somebody went hunting for it. That's proper geek, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we're saving now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it'd be worth it, yeah.
That's a great
film. I don't know, is the stage version... This is replacing the original stage version. They're not running the old one anymore, are they?
No, this is not replacing the stage show, Priscilla. Absolutely not. No, this is something that's... you know when TV does shows for spin-off characters? Yeah. So it's a spin-off.
Like that. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the original performances aren't running, are they? The original Priscilla.
Oh, I don't know, Andy. I don't know. It's probably running somewhere.
Yeah. Can people take part in this? Sorry, I'm...
Yeah, you actually are in the club.
Oh!
And, face to face.
So you get to see the shoe.
Owen is inches from your face. Aren't you, Owen?
So he's going, thank God I did that on Zoom. Well, shall we have a listen then?
Yeah. Who doesn't like a bit of drag? Nobody, I hear you say, certainly nobody listening to this show, all half a million of you. And welcome to Owain Williams. And you've got a great story and you're playing a great character, Owain. So first of all, before we get into the present, how did you... Were you into drag all the time, or is this something new for you?
This is something new for me, actually. I've been a fan of drag as an art form for many years and massive fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and all Mama Ru's franchises. I watch it religiously, but I've never tried it myself apart from, you know, the odd night out at university. I actually did do Frankenfurter for one night only in an amateur production of Rocky Horror, but decades ago. So I'm currently playing Tick/Mitzi Mitosis in Priscilla the Party, which is the latest embodiment of the iconic Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, in London's West End. And Mitzi Mitosis is Tick's drag alter ego. And when I went in for the final audition, the panel said to me, "Now, Owain, you were a bit too butch in your last round." Which, let me tell you, Steffi, that's never a note I've received ever in my life. But they were like, we want to feminize you, so we're going to put you in some heels. I was like, okay, great, here we go. So I went out, I met the wardrobe mistress who fitted lots of different pairs on me from previous cast members. And lo and behold, the pair of heels that fit were the original London Tick/Mitzi, the one, the only, Mr. Jason Donovan. And they fit like a glove, and I thought, well, this is a good omen. And, you know, it was kind of like riding a bike, even though there were decades had passed since I'd put on a pair of heels at university. I was like, okay, this is good. And it's been a real journey through the show, actually, through rehearsals, and we've now opened to the public. I'm still on this journey of discovering things about myself on stage through this kind of drag persona of Mitzi Mitosis. It's really exciting.
Yeah, sounds it. And in Jason Donovan's shoes.
I know. I hope he's listening to this. If you are, Jason, thank you so much. They're very comfortable. But it's a wonderful production to be a part of, actually, because so many, you know, I identify as a gay man myself, and so many of the cast are members of the LGBTQIA community, and so much of the crew and creatives as well. So it's such a wonderfully queer space with different generations of queer people. And it's so interesting to learn from the elders, you know, who have been around for longer than I have, But also from the younger generation, you know, who are in their early 20s and exploring gender fluidity. And, you know, the drag persona of Mitzi Matosis, there are some scenes she appears in sort of big platform shoes or quite sexualized slinky outfits. And I felt quite comfortable in those because I felt quite powerful. But then the opening outfit is a very soft, feminine tulle dress with a sort of Goldilocks wig and very feminine and soft and, you know, with maladukas and, wow, I felt very vulnerable, actually. And it was through those younger cast members that I learned how to embrace a different kind of feminine power. Mm. I don't have to dress as kind of, you know, big, sexy drag queen to feel powerful. Mm. So, yeah, it's a wonderful space to explore all things LGBT+. Mm.
Where are you showing?
We are performing at, well, it's very unconditionally unconventional because Priscilla the Party is an immersive experience. So it's not at a traditional theatre. It's at an amazing, brand new, state-of-the-art entertainment venue called Here at Outernet. If you're familiar with London, at Tottenham Court Road station, as you come out of it, there's this massive kind of big screen, LED screens that are showing all these kind of beautiful video art. So that whole area is called Outernet, and Here is one of the venues that's a part of it. So you actually, you know, the show is set in Australia, down under, and you actually go down under the ground into this, what we call the Cockatoo Club, which is based on one of Sydney's most iconic drag clubs. And yeah, we are there 8 times a week.
Can I ask you, you just tried an Australian accent, or Australian. Are you going to speak with an Australian accent throughout?
Throughout. Steffi, let me tell you, this show presents many challenges. You've heard of a triple threat, right? So who can act, dance and sing. We are required here to dance, act and sing in heels with Australian accents. Plus it's immersive, so the audience are right up close and personal. You know, they basically are another character in the show. Never mind all the quick changes that happen backstage in record times, because I go from drag to boy to drag to boy, you know, within 80 seconds. So it's, yeah, it's quite a challenge, but it's... I watched a lot of Neighbours and I watched a lot of the Australian Traitors to really get into the zone.
Love it.
Forget, there's a place in Australia called New South Wales, and I'm from the original South Wales. So there's a link, there's a tenuous link there somewhere.
I think that is quite tenuous, so I know. So, website and tickets, where can people get to see you?
So, if you go to the website, www.priscillathepartie.com, and all the information, the venue, how to get tickets is all there. And if you're a social media whiz, we're on X, or formerly known as Twitter, at Priscilla Party, on Instagram, Priscilla the Party, and there's lots of great content. Myself and Reese Kerridge, who plays Adam/Felicia, some of our ensemble, we went out into Leicester Square yesterday to the TKTS booth in drag, promoting the show. So we were out there handing flyers out and testing Londoners' knowledge of Australian slang. But we're also the show of the week there, so if you hunt on the web on the web, you can probably find some discounts as well at the moment.
Ooh,
I know, we are in a cost of living crisis, Steffi.
I heard, yes.
And theatre should be accessible to all, right?
That's very true, actually, very true. Yeah, it's a shame that there's other people don't think the same lines.
Mm.
Owain Williams, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm not sure whether I should say break a leg, because in those periods you might just. But Jason Donovan made it through wearing those heels, and you're in good shoes.
Yes, you can say break a heel or break a nail. That'll suffice.
Okay, break a nail then, Owain. Thank you so much for joining us on Showtime.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Shoutout
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout podcast.
The lovely Hazel Dean searching 40.
Yeah, brand spanking. Well, in fact, not even brand spanking new, not out yet.
Yeah, it's very nice of her to let us play that.
Yeah.
So thank you, Hazel.
She's very nice, lady.
Yeah, lovely. So, 20th. Really good mix of it, too. It's kind of like, you know, it's how I remember it, but upbeat. Well, more upbeat, I should say. It's quite an upbeat song.
You can download and purchase that on the 20th. So what's that? Is that Sunday?
Saturday.
Yeah, 18th today, if you're listening live.
Great to release a record. Yeah.
So hello if you're listening on other stations. Lovely to have you. So don't say that often enough, really, do we?
You don't.
No. So. Anyway, we know who else is lovely, because he's got the news for us.
Thank you. Here's Shoutout News. Welcome along. Life Science Online magazine reports that the United States is to join the European Union in banning the chemical formaldehyde from hair straighteners. There's anecdotal evidence that alongside cisgender and heterosexual women of colour, so some trans women and lesbian women of colour have used hair straighteners to conform to Eurocentric ideas of beauty, which are still pervasive across many Western cultures. The new US ban on formaldehyde would help make hair straightening and smoothing products safer, and especially make a difference to salon workers who are constantly exposed to the chemical. The new FDA ban would apply to hair straightening and smoothing products, which temporarily straighten hair, and these products are not to be confused with hair relaxers, which are creamy chemicals used to permanently straighten hair. Life Science says that women of colour will benefit from the ban of formaldehyde, which has been linked to leukemia and nasopharyngeal cancers, which affect the upper part of the throat. It's thought to be cancer-causing when inhaled in large amounts or for prolonged periods. The magazine also noted that textured African hair is still discriminated against in US society, a fact that has prompted some more progressive legislatures in various states to pass anti-discrimination ordinances on hair texture. There is less research on black gay men and their relationship to hair straighteners, as for many years gay male fashion for men of all colours has tended to emphasise short haircuts such as a short back and sides, skinhead and crew cuts. BBC Two Television on the 11th of April paid tribute to the life and work of gay hero and fashion icon Lee Alexander McQueen, 14 years on from his sad death. McQueen was so celebrated that when the Victoria and Albert Museum in London held a posthumous celebration retrospective of his incredible work in 2015, they had to open all through the night. Such was the public demand for entry into the exhibits. Mr. McQueen was a loving boyfriend too, and a frequenter of the gay scene in London, and also proud of his working class heritage. He also suffered from emotional health difficulties brought about by the high intensity fashion world in which he worked. Sadly, he took his own life following the death of his mother, to whom he was very close. He left a charitable organisation to help other young working class people working in the fashion and arts industries. If you're affected by any of the issues raised in this article, please do not suffer in silence. You can call the Samaritans in the UK or Republic of Ireland on 116 123. You can also talk to the National LGBT Plus Switchboard on 0800 019 100. If you use any good search engine, you'll also find local LGBT Plus and general mental health projects near to you. The anarchist news website Libcom publishes an essay that argues that patriarchy is a pillar of capitalism and will, quote, fall with it. The writer says women, who were held in the highest esteem in pre-class communist societies were placed in bondage in the patriarchal order established with the development of private property, the family and the state. Whilst the development of industrial production has partially improved the condition of women, it does not allow their emancipation from patriarchy, since patriarchy is inextricably intertwined with private property. They go on to say, only in a society liberated from the last form of slavery, that of wage labour, will patriarchy be superseded, and the final blow will at last be dealt to the already moribund family founded on monogamic matrimony. Women will return to the centre of social consideration, and humanity will reconcile itself with its natural instinct to live socially. The Sydney Star Observer, the respected LGBT plus Australian newspaper, reports that in Melbourne, LGBT plus Muslims joined forces to celebrate the iftar meal together to mark the end of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. The event was organised by Queer Muslim NARM. The Observer newspaper notes the organisers said the response from the queer Muslim community has been, quote, overwhelmingly positive and empowering. One of them said, having a queer iftar is essential as it addresses the intersectionality of identities and provides a safe space for individuals who may feel marginalised or excluded from traditional religious and cultural spaces due to their sexual orientation or gender identity. Attendees to the event were able to enjoy a tasty selection of foods from across the traditionally Islamic world, from the Middle East to South Asia. Queer Muslim NARM has a website and Instagram, and it sent its Eid Mubarak greetings to the community, wishing hope, faith and joy on Eid al-Fitr and always. The BBC News Channel reports that Germany has passed new legislation in the field of gender transition. The network says, previously, changing your registered gender required a doctor's certificate and the approval of a family court. Now over 18s can change to male, female or diverse, a third gender option that already exists under German law. Chancellor Olaf Scholz said, we show respect to trans, intersex and non-binary people without taking anything away from anyone else. This is how we continue to drive the modernisation of our country. This includes recognising realities of life and making them possible by law. Nike Slavik from the Greens, who is transgender, said it was a first step towards a society which allows self-determination for trans people. The new rules will come into effect in November. And finally, lesbian and queer women's magazine Diva reports that whilst homophobia in the men's football game remains an issue, there are plenty of LGBT plus women playing for women's sides the length and breadth of the country. In an article that would delight fans of the beautiful game, they profile just a few of the gay, bi and queer women who will be playing in the women's European qualifiers for Euro 25. Amongst those they celebrate is Lauren Hemp, of whom they write, one of the Lionesses' youngest stars, the superstar forward Lauren Hemp is providing some much needed LGBTQIA plus visibility to the pitch. The Manchester City player has been a crucial member of the England squad. And in true footy fashion, Lauren has been dating fellow forward Ellie Butler, who plays for Coventry, since 2022. For the full profiles, do check out the Diva magazine website. That's it for another busy week of LGBTQIA plus news. We update our website regularly, so do check us out for news and information at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And there is a wealth of LGBTQIA plus community out there online, in print and in the real world. Check it out, make friends and make connections. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Nice bit of U2 there. Beautiful day. Haven't had that one for a while.
Yes.
That's a powerful track, that one.
Power ballad, isn't it? You call that, I think.
Yeah, is it a ballad?
I'm not sure. Powerful song, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I kind of gave it away a bit at the top of the show when I played the wrong track, didn't I? But shall we do some books?
Let's look at some books, shall we? It's always good to look at books. Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, the younger generation is not going to know the connection between that, but we just talk about
you have to be getting on a bit, actually, to understand what this music is. Pick of the Pops, which for a while was the only BBC pop music programme, I think, wasn't it?
Was Alan Freeman.
Yeah.
Pick of the Pops, not Radio One.
Pick of the Pops. Yeah ran early.
And his listeners were pop pickers.
Well, the pop pickers, Alan Freeman.
Right? Hey, pop pickers.
Even before my time.
Yeah, mine. Yeah,
even before my time.
So our books are courtesy of Kate up at News From Nowhere Bookshop in Liverpool, which is one of a whole network of independent and progressive community bookstores. You'll find one near you. News From Nowhere also do online, so do check them out. Actually, I've got LGBT plus section.
I've got my books on the screen.
Yeah, me too.
We need to do them in reverse because I've got number one.
I think we should start with number 10. Okay, the top 10.
Hang on, let me scroll down my screen. There we go. Okay, cool.
Number 10. Shall I start?
Yeah,
why not? Is Neuroqueer, a neurodivergent guide to love, sex and everything in between, which is by CJ DeBarra. Growing up in West Cork in the Republic of Ireland, CJ knew they were ADHD, but its implications remained mysterious. To write this book, they drew on academic research and medical studies, the lived experience of other queer ADHD individuals, and their background as a journalist. CJ fearlessly explores the raw reality of heartbreak, love and sexuality, and delves into the complexities of desire, the impact of distractions during intimacy, the role of dopamine in the brain, and the allure of unconventional sexual experiences.
Mm-hmm. The allure.
We all have unconventional sexual experiences sometimes. Moreover, they shed light.
Do you?
I got Tom Daly at home, haven't I? Moreover, they shed light on alarmingly low diagnosis rates for women, transgender people, and non-binary individuals. That book is out now, $9.99 in paperback.
Cool. Tara.
Number 9.
Oh, I'm doing number 9. Okay. Devolution by Hannah Kent. A stunning story about the impossible lengths we go to for one we love, with breathtaking twists. From the best-selling author of Burial Rites, Hannah Kent. Hannah and Thea friendship is a miracle. Before, Hannah always felt apart from the local girls, but with Thea, it all came easy. Suddenly, she could imagine a future for herself, a happy one by Thea's side, but when their tight-knit community embarks on a long and brutal journey to Australia in search of new freedoms on old land, Hannah and Thea's bond must find a way to survive the most impossible devastation, with the love proved too strong for even nature to break. $9.99 and it's paperback.
Number 8, Book Pickers, The Lavender Scare, The Cold War Persecution of Gays and Lesbians in the Federal Government by David K. Johnson. A new edition of a classic work of history revealing the anti-homosexual purges of mid-century Washington. In The Lavender Scare, David tells the frightening story of how during the Civil War, homosexuals were considered as dangerous a threat to national security as communists. Charges that Roosevelt and Truman administrations were havens for. Homosexuals proved a potent political weapon, sparking a lavender scare, more vehement and long-lasting than Joseph McCarthy's Red Scare. £22, that one, paperback.
I should point out, actually, I listened to a podcast called Criminal, presented by the lovely Phoebe Judge, and they did an episode on the Lavender Scare where they actually interviewed a lesbian who was literally followed by the FBI all over the place and made her life an absolute hell back then. I'd never heard of it before.
There was a real persecution in mid-century.
And they were absolutely, and we had similar kind of parallels here, didn't we? Because that was what happened with Alan Turing. And
it wasn't quite as fanatical, but the Americans were rooting out communists, civil rights activists, black civil rights activists, feminists and communists, of course, throughout the government in the 50s.
Anyway, number 7, God's Children Are Little Broken Things. Oh gosh, how do you say the person?
Arinze Ifeanyi Kandu.
Oh, thank you, mate. So, I should have read that before, really, shouldn't I?
I did.
I'd figure that out. So, in this stunning debut from one of Nigeria's most promising young writers, the stakes of love meet a society in flux. A man revisits the university campus where he lost his first love, aware now of what he couldn't understand then. A daughter returns home to Lagos after the death of her father, where she must face her past and future relationship with her long-term partner. A young musician rises to fame at the risk of losing himself and the man who loves him. These nine stories of queer male intimacy brim with simmering secrecy, ecstasy, loneliness and love in their depictions of what it means to be gay in contemporary Nigeria. And that's $9.99, and again, that's in paperback for you.
Okay, coming in at number six is Learned by Heart by Emma Donoghue, the heartbreaking story of the love of two women, Anne Lister, the real-life inspiration behind Gentleman Jack, and her first love, Eliza Rain. It's 1805, at a boarding school in York, and the two 14-year-old girls first meet. Eliza is the orphan daughter of an Indian mother, keeps herself apart from the other girls, tired of being picked out for being different. Anne Lister is the gifted troublemaker and determined to conquer the world, refusing to bow to society's expectations of what a woman can do. As they fall in love, the connection they forge will remain with them for the rest of their lives. That's out now in hardback, retailing at $16.99.
And at number five, Fire Island, A Queer History by Jack Parrott.
Parlet?
Yeah. Fire Island, a slim strip of land off the coast of New York, a place of hedonism, reinvention and liberation. Here were the
Halcyon,
thank you. Scenes of Frank O'Hara's poetry, the bars where Patricia Highsmith got drunk, the infamous cruise sites, the dazzling beaches where couples had fallen in and out of love, free for a sun-kissed moment to be themselves in the time before gay liberation. Tracing Fire Island's rich history, Parlet leads the reader through the early days of the island's life as a discreet home for same-sex love, to the wild parties of the post-Stonewall disco era, to the residents' confrontation with the AIDS epidemic, and into the present where the host of the new challenges threaten the island's future. $10.99 and in paperback.
I'm going to get that. That sounds really, really good.
Mm.
And in at number four, Mona of the Manor. Armistead Maupin, the 10th novel in the beloved Tales of the City series, Armistead Maupin's best-selling San Francisco saga. As they welcome a married American couple to Easley, Mona and Wilfred discover their new guest's terrible secret. Instead of focusing on the imminent arrival of an old friend, Michael Tolliver, and matriarch Anna Madrigal, Mona will need to use her considerable charm, willpower, and wiles to set things right before Easley's historic midsummer ceremony. Hurdling barriers both social and sexual, Maupin leads the eccentric tenants of Barbary Lane through heartbreak and triumph, through nail-biting terrors and gleeful coincidences in 1980s San Francisco and beyond. £20 hardback.
Oh, so that's a new Armistead Maupin one.
Great author. Yeah. Tales of the City.
Yeah,
sequence,
I actually went and saw an audience with.
I met him. I've shaken his hand. Yeah.
Lovely, lovely chap.
Yeah, lovely man.
So very, very, very amenable and married and settled. And I think over here as well. I'm not sure.
He's always been an Anglophile. Yeah. Yes, yeah. He has. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to do number three? Because I have no idea.
Yerba Buena by Nina Lacour. When Sarah Foster runs away from home at 16, she leaves behind not only the losses that have shattered her world, but the girl she once was, capable of trust. Years later, in Los Angeles, she is a sought-after bartender, renowned as much for her brilliant cocktails as for the mystery surrounding her. Across the city, Emily Dubois is in a holding pattern. In her seventh year and fifth major as an undergraduate, she yearns for the beauty and community her Creole grandparents cultivated, but she's unable to commit. On a whim, she takes on job arranging flowers at the glamorous restaurant Yerba Buena and embarks on an affair with the married owner. At once exquisite and expansive, astonishing in its humanity, Yerba Buena is a love story about two women finding their way in the world. This is out now in paperback at $9.99.
So, right, who wants to do number two?
I'll do two.
Yeah.
Miss Major Speaks: Conversations with a Black Trans Revolutionary by Miss Major Griffin Gracie and Toshido Marinoka. A legendary transgender elder and activist reflects on a lifetime of struggle and the future of black, queer and trans liberation. Miss Major Griffey Grace is a veteran of the infamous Stonewall riots, a former sex worker and a trans elder and activist who has survived Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital, Attica Prison and the HIV AIDS crisis and a world where white supremacy has built. Miss Major speaks in both document and a brilliant life and with intimacy, warmth and incredible levity and a robed map for the challenge black, brown, queer and trans youth will face on the path to liberation today. $9.99 paperback, and it sounds amazing.
It does, doesn't it? And bringing us to number one.
Hand in Hand with Love, an anthology of queer classic poetry. This book is a celebration of queer voices throughout the ages, spanning from Sappho, which I think is... the lesbian island, isn't it? Sappho
wrote her
and the ancient Greeks to Edna Street, Vincent Millay and the modernists. This luminous anthology champions and redefines a spectrum of queer poetry, featuring visionary writers whose only space to express their intimate thoughts was on the page, pioneering poets who battled prejudice. God, that's a lot of to be bold and forthright, and an electrifying range of famous authors such as Walt Whitman, Emily Dickinson and Oscar Wilde. These dynamic voices paved the way for decades to come. Together they offer a vivid archive of queer identity to be celebrated, discovered and treasured. And there's another one that's in hardback, so it's a little bit more at $10.99.
Ah, lovely. Once again, thanks to News From Nowhere, a community bookstore in Liverpool, for the top 10, as they always provide us with once a quarter. And if you're interested in buying any of the books, do check out independent bookstores near you, because
there are loads.
LGBT plus friendly ones, especially progressive bookstores.
I think Hydra Books is still around here in Bristol, isn't it?
I think it's based at Cafe Kino at the moment. And there's also Dreadnought Books, Gloucester Road Books, Story Smith. There's loads in Bristol.
There's some famous ones up in London as well, as I recall. I've been there for a while.
Gaze the Word.
That's the one I was thinking
66 Marchmont Street. Lovely, lovely bookshop. I mean, the store of the community. That's where I met Armistead Maupin.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, bloody hell, it's Armistead Maupin. Sorry for swearing. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
It's funny because there's quite a range in there. I don't know if you remember. If you weren't in history at school, obviously you'd have a completely different opinion. But when I was at school, I was not so interested in history at all. Yeah. And the older I've got, the more fascinated I've got with it and finding out what went on in the past. So when you see books like the one about the Lavender Scare, it's a part of our history that we never even knew about. And the like. And stories like that and Alan Turing, I just find them fascinating. So that would be my recommendation. That would be the one I would go for.
Yes. Yeah, very interesting. Mine would be, as I mentioned, Fire Island, The Queer History by Jack Parlett, which, always fascinated by things like that. Yeah. The sort of mid-century parties and the pre-AIDS era, post-Stonewall gay liberation decade of the 1970s. It must be fascinating to be there.
That appears in a few of the books, doesn't it?
It's quite nice. I mean, because I'm like in my mid-40s. When you talk to some of the guys and girls that are in their like late teens, 20s, like uni type of age, there is now quite a feeling of wanting to know the history of how we got to equality to where it is now, and
absolutely
the fight and the like. It's quite good to see.
And we all have to honour the sort of people that came before them. I remember a pride event once, and something was said, and a drag queen took to the stage and said, "I want every young." Specifically addressing young gay men, because it involved a gay man. He said, "All you young queens out there, the next time an old chap at a bar offers to buy you a drink in a gay bar, you say yes and you say thank you, because that old man has fought for your right to be gay and out and having a nice gay village in Bristol and things like that." I thought it was a wonderful speech and everyone applauded. That was years ago, a little pride event.
People have been arrested, beaten up, thrown away from families. Yeah. There's all sorts of stories.
Yeah.
And that's just in the local community.
Yeah. Anyway, going to take a quick break, have a song. Ooh. When we come back, I've got some news for you about next week's show.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Christmas number one a few years ago, about a decade
Christmas
ago.
That was
Shane Ward with That's My Goal. And he was one of the first X Factor winners.
I remember.
Lovely looking chap. Been in a few things since. He's doing more TV these days.
Okay.
So,
lovely.
So now, all fans of Pride, aren't we? We all love Pride.
Well, we do Pride every year. We broadcast from it.
We are confirmed. We will be broadcasting Bristol Pride again this year, as we have done for many, many years. Thanks in part to Darren for always having us there. I spoke to Eva back at a different event, and I said, you know, would you mind if we came? She said, oh, we just assume you are.
That's nice.
Bless. That's really, really sweet. That's so, nice. But for the first time ever, shout out can say we have got the exclusive reveal of the headline act for this year.
Ooh.
It will be given to the rest of the press next Friday, but you can hear who it's going to be live on Shout Out next Thursday.
Tell your friends.
So if there's ever been a reason to tune in to Shout Out and tell your friends to tune in to Shout Out, that is it. So yeah, you will probably see us make a bit of a song and dance about it over social media for this week, because it's really kind of prized to let us do it. So, and I'm super excited, because everyone always wants to know who the headliner is.
I do.
Yes. We'd have to wait a week. So even I don't know. It's all a bit hush hush, isn't it? So have to wait till next week. So,
you do have to wait till next week.
It is hush hush.
On pain of death.
No spoilers, nothing. They won't let us do it again.
BBC are going to be so peeved.
How can people listen? Let's go through all the ways you can listen to the show as it goes out on Thursday.
Obviously, we make it live here at our home station of BCFM,
which is 93.2 FM,
and on DAB, and online. And you can also listen to the stream on shoutoutradio.lgbt
as we go out.
As we go out. In fact, we broadcast BCFM pretty much all the time on our website. But yeah, it connects you through to the BCFM player.
Yep.
Then, Steph, you know this list better than anyone.
It's 10 a.m. We're on Bass Radio, which is based at South Bristol. On Friday. Yeah. Yep. So, hello Friday. 11, Medway Pride, and that's on a demand, so you can listen to it anytime after 11 on Friday. Yeah. Transradio UK,
12, is it?
Midday. Yep. Yep. And then it's 6 o'clock in Glastonbury. It's 7 o'clock on Keynsham. And it's 9 o'clock in Thornbury.
And 6 p.m. Friday on Sanctity of Sound, the Queer Spirit radio station.
Yeah. And then it's on Saturday at 7 in Bath. And then it's on Sunday at 6 in Bradley Stoke. And then it's on Monday.
There is 15 of these, by the way.
I forgot. It's on the Saturday, the same time as Bath Sound.
Yep.
And Monday is Ujima at 3 p.m.
That's how you listen.
A big thank you, because it's quite a feat to be on 15 radio stations.
It is.
With this show.
It is, and thanks to all the participating
stations. A big thank you to all of those that take part.
Yeah.
But yes, obviously the exclusive will be on the Thursday. So as much as we love all of our stations, if you want to know before anyone else, because it will hit the rest of the press on the Friday, I'm sure. In fact, it probably will once we've announced it, I guess.
Yep. No, they're not allowed.
Are they not allowed?
It's embargoed.
The notes have gone out saying it's going to be embargoed until 0700 on Friday morning. Shout out. I've been told we're the only people that can do it. Radio, BBC nice. Radio Bristol.
Yeah, we love our friends at
the it's a full 12 hours before anybody else anyway.
Yeah, I've been asked to meet up with them for a coffee to talk about Pride Broadcast, so I'll be rubbing that in their noses.
don't get too big head. Pride won't let us do it again if you get like that.
It is going to be interesting. Yeah, so you know,
but yeah, it's coming up in July. I think it's 12th again this year, is it?
I think it is the 12th. I think it is Saturday the 12th. Just is the main day.
Bringing up a date checker just to make sure I've said that right. No, 13th.
Oh, there we are.
13th is a Saturday this year. So up on the Downs again, I presume. We haven't heard that much. We've had obviously all the announcements of the drag stage. That's all out now. You can see all that on Pride's
website.
It'll
be the same March.
It's the same March. Same March. Castle Park,
and you'll be on the march.
I will be live from the march.
Yeah, we'll be live there all day.
And we've got two reporters going live into the audience, the crowd, and over at the drag stage. So we've got two people out remoting.
I don't know how live they'll be. They'll be there.
They'll be there. Yeah. Well, they're live. They're breathing.
Well, yes, I know. Whether they'll be live on the radio or not.
And we'll have all the celebrities as well. Most of them.
Yes.
If they speak
to us. We will try.
I mean, last year we had Nasty Imbruglia. Yeah. Who was a lovely woman, lovely. Wasn't she?
Fell on the desk, nearly knocked the whole thing over.
And we've got the...
Jake Cheers. As well, yes.
Which was someone who's lost the
another very good-looking young man.
I was very professional.
He's a good-looking boy.
And what a difference as well. He talked to us on the radio, and he was quite a shy, kind of like... Not recluse, but he was not what you saw on the stage. When he got up on that stage, he owned it. He was everywhere. He was jumping about. When he was with us, he was quite a nice...
Quite reserved young man.
Yeah, it was great.
He was quite casual. He just came over and introduced himself and got on the radio. There was no pretense about him. No. It was lovely.
It was nice. So, and we make the point again, it's great that we get to talk to them all, but the whole reason we do it is because not everyone is able to be out enough to go to an event like that.
Absolutely.
And at least it means if you are that, or if you're ill, because we have people last year listening because they had COVID and couldn't make
you
can listen to Pride and still take part of it and enjoy the celebrations, and that's why we do it.
That's what it's all about.
Big thank you to the Pride team for letting us do it year on year, because it really means a lot.
Tune in next week.
That is it for another week. With things like Pride coming up, we can really do with some help, so if you're interested in getting involved in LGBT plus radio, we would really like to hear from you.
We're looking for volunteers to get involved. If you are concerned about being on air, there's also plenty to do behind the scenes. Just get in contact with us to find out more. shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Already said what's happening next week. We've got the Pride exclusive, so join us for that. From myself, from Terry, from Tara, and from Steph, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.